This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
Hello, listeners. This is Chelsea Freander here on AM 1450 KBPS. Today, I'll be talking about the Blazers training Damian Lillard to be on the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, this is actually a three-way deal with Milwaukee Bucks, Portland Trailblazers, and the Phoenix Suns. Now, Portland will be receiving Jrue Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, and Tony Kemba, while Milwaukee will be receiving our Damian Lillard, with alongside Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Suns will be receiving Jusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson. This deal comes months ahead when Lillard originally wanted to be traded officially on July, while there's still being discussions about it. He is leaving after 11 seasons with us, and he made about 7 All-Star NBA teams and has built a lot of the fan base for the Portland Trailblazers. His career last year was pretty good, averaging around 32.2 points and about 7.3 assists by playing 56 games. We are sad to see Damian Lillard leave us, but we hope to see what he could bring to the Milwaukee Bucks when they play. The Bucks emerged as a constant favorite to us in the NBA title after the trade, with odds around 4-1 at U.S. Sportsbooks. The Trailblazers fans aren't only ones upset by this trade for the fact that the other fans from both Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks are upset to see their favorite players go. But it will add some spice to this new season that is coming up for basketball. So, hope you're all ready for these games. I am Chelsea Freander from AM 1450 KBS, and thank you for listening to the Student Hour on KBS, PRP, and KBOO.
Lunch goes back to 1946 when President Harry Truman signed the National Lunch Act, advocating for nutrition for all students. Over time, school lunches have gotten more and more accessible, but in the past 20 years, student responses for school lunch have gone downhill. Quality of school lunches in America are not the greatest, and most of the time, meals are pre-made, poor quality. In my 3 years of going to Benson Tech High School, I've seen many interesting school lunches consisting of frozen pizza, some sort of slop that's supposed to be applesauce, and chicken sandwiches so stale the bread is hard as a rock. Personally, I choose to not eat the school lunch, but I'm very curious about the school lunches at Benson. So today, I will be interviewing Antrell to find the truth about the school's lunch offerings.
What's up?
So, Antrell, what are your overall thoughts and feelings about the school lunches?
Honestly, if I'm being honest, I don't think the school lunches are really that good.
Tell me more. Like, why aren't they good?
Well, as we all know from freshman year, the pizzas were always dried up and the chicken sandwiches didn't really taste that good. The only thing I really got was just the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Those were the only exceptions.
Okay, can you describe your favorite school lunch options and why you like them?
The only reason I go for pizza every day is because that's the only thing I'll eat.
Are there any school lunch items you don't enjoy?
Can't exactly say because I just don't care for them.
How do you think the school lunch options compare to other schools? Have you had better school lunch at other schools too?
I've had the exact same lunches at my elementary and middle school, and they tasted far better than what we have now.
Have you ever had to make dietary choices or special requests for the school lunches?
No, because I'm not one of those people who gets allergy reactions over the littlest things.
Tell me more about the nutrition in school lunches. Are they good or is it bad?
I'm mixed on the matter.
How would you? If you could rate the school lunches on 10, what would it be? 1 the lowest, 10 the highest?
4, if not 5.
Why would you rate it that way?
They could be so much better if the school would actually use the money and make better lunches, but they spend it on other things.
What do you think could be done to improve the overall school lunch experience for students?
That's not for me to say. That's for the school to actually open their eyes and do something about it.
Well, how is the school going to improve if no one has any ideas?
Well, they're going to have to figure that one out themselves because I don't have anything.
Do you feel like the school lunch program provides affordable and accessible options for school students?
I guess so.
Do you typically spend your lunchtime at school or out on off campus?
I used to spend it off campus a lot during freshman and sophomore year, but leaning towards the end of sophomore year and into my junior year, I stopped going because Walmart's closed and I just ran all my money into that business and it's gone.
Well, I think we learned that school lunch isn't that great. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
See ya.
All right.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the Student Hour. My name is Zip, and I will be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song A Love by The Pretenders. It was released in July and produced by David Wrench. Let's take a listen. Love by the Pretenders is a heartfelt and emotionally charged ballad that showcases the band's ability to blend rock and pop sensibilities with a deep sense of vulnerability. Chrissy Hynde's distinctive vocals shine in this track, delivering a poignant and passionate performance that captures the essence of love's complexities. The song's lyrics delve into the ups and downs of a romantic relationship, painting a vivid picture of the struggles and joys that come with loving someone deeply. The instrumentation, featuring a melodic guitar line and a subtle yet impactful percussion, complements Haydn's vocals beautifully, creating a rich and immersive sonic experience. A Love is a testament to the Pretenders' enduring musical prowess and their ability to create timeless songs that resonate with listeners on a deeply emotional level. A Love is a must-listen for fans of the band and anyone who appreciates a well-crafted and emotionally charged rock ballads. With its powerful lyrics and Chrissie Hynde's soulful delivery, A Love is a timeless addition to the Pretenders' impressive discography. This is Zip from KBPS.
KBPS, you are listening to The Corridor. Here we have me, Makai, and Connor. Say hello, everyone. Makai, why don't you start us off?
So I was thinking we could talk about what type of music we all listen to. I can start off. My most listened to genre of music will be indie punk or folk punk. I listen to it because it's kind of just the music I grew up on. Grew up with a lot of old music or like original punk music. So yeah, kind of a comfort thing.
That's interesting. I really like to listen to pop music. And it's interesting that you would say that you like to listen to, like, what you grew up listening to. There's a lot of music that my parents really liked to play when I was younger. And I like a lot of it, but there's, like, certain songs or, like, genres that they would, like, always play. And I'm like, I don't listen to them anymore. Do you get that?
Yeah, I have a similar thing. Along with the folk punk, there's the folk, which can tie a lot into like country music, which I have to be honest, I understand that the genre has a lot of different facets and sides, but not really a country fan, so I can totally get you on that.
All right, so I personally listen to a lot of indie pop and nightcore because I have ADHD, so I really like the kind of fast-paced and the sort of negative theming. It kind of gives me a lot to think about. I also like pop, not just indie pop.
I also agree with you on the fast-paced thing. That's another reason why I like indie punk, because it includes a lot of very fast percussions and very interesting sounds. Like, yeah, it's, yes.
All right, Connor, what creators do you listen to?
I like to listen to creators like Justin Timberlake.
Do you have any songs of his that you off the top of your head really like?
I like to listen to the Mirrors by Justin Timberlake. That's a good song.
I would say I haven't heard of it, but I probably have. I just don't know its name. Do you guys watch a lot of YouTube?
I do. Yes, I watch a lot of YouTube. That's probably the main way that I can consume content on the internet.
I'm keeping that in.
It's cute.
What creators do you follow?
Mr. Beast. Like, Mr. Beast is like one of those ones where like I feel like I shouldn't watch him anymore, but I watch him because he's like everybody watches him. It's like a connection thing. And I gotta say his content's not
terrible.
It's very large. Okay.
It's very high production valued. I also watch Mr. Beast. I think I liked his like medium days videos, you know, his early days. I didn't really like them that much because it was a lot of, you know, just doing crazy things randomly. Like, there wasn't a lot of thought put into it, and there wasn't a lot, like, his thing is that he shoves money at everything, and that's what really makes him, you know, the guy who he is. Makai, do you listen to anyone or watch any YouTube videos,
I mean,
any creators?
I do have to agree with y'all that YouTube is one of my main content consumption platforms, but I have to disagree with you on, like, my watching styles and stuff. I almost exclusively consume video essays on almost any topic. Most of them are like literary analysis, but also sometimes political analysis. I just prefer long-term content, that type of thing. But I've actually watched multiple video essays on Mr. Beast, funnily enough.
All right, so you said that you feel like you shouldn't watch him. What is it about him that makes you not want to watch him, but you just can't put him down, Connor?
Oh, what I meant was that his content's not quite as enjoyable as it was when I was younger, and maybe...
How young?
It may... A couple years.
Fair.
Middle school, etc. Yeah. It may be that it's getting, like, more mainstreamed because he's getting so large, or maybe I'm just getting older, but it's a thing where I want to keep watching for some reason, so I do.
Is it like a nostalgia thing?
Sure, nostalgia is one way to say that.
I mean, I've had a similar experience with short form content where it's like, I don't want my entire recommended to be this, and I don't want to just like zone out to like, I don't want this to be the thing I'm used to. So I can kind of relate to that. Mackay?
Well,
there's obviously some content. Do you have any guilty content pleasures, you know? Like things that you watch and maybe you shouldn't or you don't want to, but you do just because you're tired or whatever.
I don't think there's any specific content that I consume necessarily, but I suppose like just mindlessly scrolling through things like YouTube Shorts or like TikTok, no matter what the content is, just the act of like not really absorbing anything but like just consuming because I need moving pictures to keep my mind stimulated. If I had to point down like one specific content creator, I think like Brendan Rodgers, who is in my opinion a great comedian, but like consuming his content and only his content can get kind of dull.
Yeah, that's fair. You are listening to The Student Hour. This has been Corridor Club, and keep tuning in on KBPS AM 1450 for more Student Hour.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.
KBPS. My name is Sydney, and I'm here with my friends.
I'm Charles.
Jesse.
Jacob.
And Rosa.
So, guys, today we're going to be talking about food. So, what's your favorite place to eat at?
My favorite place has to be Little Caesars, man. The pizza's pretty good, even though it can be dry sometimes.
I mean, not going to lie, the dry part is kind of true. Like, I feel like it depends more on the location and place you go to and who's working there currently.
Yeah, it's a hit or miss with Little Caesars. The breadsticks are good though.
Oh yeah, they're so fire. Another place that's really good, it's a place called Home. If you get home cooked meals by your parent or guardian, you know, it's really good. Either that or street tacos, because I'm a Mexican.
Street tacos are fire. Home cooked meals are always going to be top tier food. Entro, you haven't answered yet.
That's true.
What do you think is best? Home cooked or eating out?
Home cooked or eating out? Honestly, they're both good, but I think I'd rather have to go with home-cooked meals.
Home-cooked meals?
Yes.
Top tier.
What's your favorite home-cooked meal?
That is none of your business, so I'm not going to say anything.
Hey, don't be like that.
What is your favorite home-cooked meal?
My favorite home-cooked meal? Either Mexican food or pasta.
Pasta is
That's a really good one.
So good, bro. Spaghetti, though.
Spaghetti's overrated, bro.
Sydney, this is
what
why
are
you know
talking
friends.
About.
Okay, wait, question though for Rosa. Specifically, what type of comida mexicana are we talking about? What are we talking about?
The one that you eat and then you can't stop.
Oh, Taco Bell, basically.
Well, it needs to be actual Mexican. It can't be
home-cooked Taco Bell.
Taco Bell isn't Mexican food. It's an Americanized version of
Mexican
food.
Okay.
I'm part Mexican. I know it's not Mexican food.
Hey. All right, you guys. What's your least favorite place to eat?
Burger King.
I don't know.
Burger King is always so bad. It used to be good years ago.
It was. And then their chicken sandwiches, they're way too freaking juicy.
It's grease. They slide out of your hands, bro. I had one that slid out of my hand, and I was like, yeah, I'm not touching that ever again.
And let's not forget about McDonald's.
McDonald's can always be a hit or miss. Depends on if the person cares about their job.
It also depends if you're trying to get a custom order, like if you want things on or off of your burger. And
they have them all pre-made anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
They're not going to be fresh.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like a lot of fast food chains are usually just a hit or miss because the Burger King that I go to, the food ain't that bad, really, in my opinion.
What Burger King do you go to? Give an address, but just give it a location.
Is it like the one by your house or?
It's semi.
Oh, yeah, I do know where Liz lives around. That Burger King's actually quiet. It's all right.
If it's by a KFC and a bottle drop and a never mind.
Yeah, it's not that one, but it's still pretty good. They actually care about
actually.
Their food.
the one that I'm talking about is actually close to a bottle drop, though.
Okay, then, yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
So, guys, what's the most overrated food place you've eaten at?
Overrated? Ooh, I gotta go with most Mexican restaurants that aren't run by Mexican owners.
Yeah, true.
Because those places, their reviews are always like, oh, these are so good, but they're not traditional, like, Mexican food meals. Like, they're just like tacos, and most of them have, like, American food. Like, that'd be like hamburgers and stuff like that, and their food is not that good.
I have to say this one place, not to drop shade, but Victorico's.
Victorico's.
It's good, but it's also really bad.
It's like white, you know?
What's up, Jesse?
We're going to have to cut out the part where I said it's too white.
Have y'all ever heard of Burrito King?
Yes.
Oh, I have not.
You know it then. You know how good that food can be.
Burrito King
is
so good.
It never misses. Rosa, you have to go to Burrito King
at least once in your life.
This is going to be really bad for some of you, but most Chipotle places are really overrated and expensive.
I've tried Chipotle once and I was young.
The only thing that's good there are the chips. That's it.
The chips are stale,
but they still taste good.
Their guacamole is very dangerously neon green, which scares the crap out of me.
What is neon green? Anything.
Their guacamole shouldn't look neon green.
They'd be putting like food coloring in it.
Either that or they're like, I don't know, whatever they add into that to make it that neon.
It's a lot of food coloring that they add. My uncle used to work at a
Chipotle,
and he showed me how they made it. It's food coloring.
I don't know about that.
It is food coloring. And I've even saw them make it at other restaurants when I was applying for a job. It is just food coloring and avocado.
I guess I'll take your word for it.
Fun fact, actually, I've never been to a Chipotle.
It's a hit or miss.
Come on, you're not a Mexican.
Not all Mexicans eat Chipotle. I've never been to a Chipotle. Never.
I've only been once, to be fair.
I've seen them, but I've like never entered times, or gotten times. Anything from one.
Wait, guys. I got a question. What do you guys feel about the McDonald's spicy chicken nuggets?
I haven't tried them yet.
Yeah, they're fire, in my opinion.
I don't know. Like, a lot of places are starting to make a lot of chicken, spicy chicken things, and it's
but
like...
But it's always a hit or miss. But with McDonald's, it's always a miss, in my opinion, with the nuggets, even though they taste good. Because they're always super dry. And with any sauce, they're still gross.
Their McChickens, like the sandwich in general, it's good. It's just... Depending on the location you go to, sometimes they just taste like straight up peppercorn.
Yeah. In my opinion, bro, back when they called that the Junior McChickens, those were good because they actually tasted. Yeah, they had Junior McChickens. They actually had spice in them. They weren't just like, oh, you got to get it pure spicy or just like no spice at all. It was spicy and non-spicy. You know what I mean? Like the chicken had seasoning.
That sounds actually really good.
Junior McChicken was always my go-to.
Do you remember when they had that, like, it was a month that they had this thing where it was, they had a Junior Big Mac, a Jumbo Mac or something like that?
Yeah, it was just big and little versions of them.
It was like they were a family.
Did you guys ever get the shake that came out during,
The McGrimmons?
No, not the Grimace Shake. Oh. Yeah, the Shamrock Shake.
It's so good.
It's okay.
Dude, what do you mean, okay?
I mean, Shamrock Shake was my go-to, bro.
You're mid for that answer.
Okay, wait. Okay, well, changing the subject from McDonald's, what do you guys feel about Dairy Queen?
Oh, my God, they're fire.
Never absolutely went to one. Amazing. Never
Liz,
went
me
to
and
one.
You got to go to one. But hear me out. You guys got to go in October because they got pumpkin pie blizzards.
Oh, yeah.
They are so good.
I really
want to
try that. Something I'm really mad about is that they took away the cherry flavoring for...
The cherry cones.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you mean the cherry ice cream cones they used to have where they dipped it?
Yeah, the cherry is gone. I don't know if it's for the Dilly Bars. I'll actually have to search that up, but...
They took it away in general. Like, you can't get the cherry-dipped ice cream cones at the one I've gone to.
Fun fact, about Dairy Queen, the butterscotch flavor, it was like a limited time thing for a while, but then I think it was either 2002.
Butterfinger, not butterscotch. Butterfinger.
It was butterscotch.
They had butterscotch.
They do have
what?
Butterscotch. It was a limited time thing, and then I think it was either 2002 or 2008 that they made it an actual official flavor to have up there.
There's no butterscotch when
yes,
I
there
go.
Is.
They always say you got Snickers, Butterfinger. They don't have any just plain flavors.
No. I don't mean Blizzard. I mean dip.
They don't see it on the dip menu. It's just vanilla and chocolate and strawberry. That's it. That's all I've
there's
seen.
There's a strawberry?
I think so.
Yeah, there is. I saw
there's one that me and my dad go to.
Or a sundae.
There's one that me and my dad go to, and it's got strawberry dipped ones.
They're not that great. Yeah, I don't think it. But
it's just vanilla ice cream in the middle, so it's just strawberry vanilla.
I do want to say. I know you said we're moving on from McDonald's, but they had a really good strawberry shortcake McFlurry.
I remember that.
It was
I remember
so fire.
That. I remember the strawberry shortcake one. All right. Okay.
Okay, so the hot food at Dairy Queen is trash.
No, it's not.
Oh my god. They got literally good, stop it, Sydney.
They got good French fries and good chicken sandwiches, but Burgerville, best burgers, in my opinion.
They're so good. The Marion Berry lemonade is so good.
That's the best
lemonade. What were you saying, Jesse?
Never had as well. Never had.
Oh my god! Oh my bro, god. You're missing out. So
we gotta when we get paid. We gotta take you. Okay, but wait. Burgerville is so expensive, but it's so good.
It's because everything is local and organic.
Yeah, and they actually care about their food.
They're
like, oh, we love our job. We're gonna make your burger nice. We're not just gonna splatter ketchup buns, ketchup pickle cheese.
Honestly, did you know that the Marion Berry was made through a raspberry and a blackberry here in Oregon?
Seriously?
For real. It was a science student in OHSU.
That's crazy.
But yeah, it was pretty cool because I found this out with my friend's mom. We were going back from Wallawa because we were camping. And on the way back, we stopped at a Burgerville and I got the Marion Berry lemonade and it was so good. I got that and then I think some kind of burger. But I was like, this lemonade is so good. And then their mom had said, oh yeah, the Marion Berry was actually made down here in Oregon by an OHSU student that was testing and experimenting. And I was like, oh really? That's really cool. So yeah.
That's really cool.
I think on the topic of the best burgers, I'd say that Five Guys is the best. In-N-Out is overrated and it's not that good. The fries taste like cardboard. The shakes from In-N-Out, they're okay. And the burgers, they're okay, but I think Five Guys is just the best overall.
Isn't it Raising Cane's?
Raising Cane's is so good. Yeah, I tried it for the first time with my best friend, Jason.
I know.
Shout out to my best friend, Jason, who is in the room reading a book. Anyways,
hi, Jason.
Raising Cane's is so good. Their chicken sandwiches are amazing, and their fries are delicious.
Never went.
We said hi to you.
I never went. Okay, listen. I never went to a Red Robin. I never went to an In-N-Out. I've never been to a Cane's.
Yeah, these places are kind of like expensive though, so I don't blame you.
Actually, I'm not gonna lie.
Are you calling
him
poor?
In-N-Out.
Every Mexican is. No, I'm kidding.
What about you?
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, oh, Cane's isn't expensive.
Oh, I heard.
Cane's is cheap.
No, Cane's
and
is
it's
like
good.
Decent.
This
it's
just
really
in,
good.
Cane's is not expensive.
It's like anybody can
what
get
other
expensive.
Fast food place? We got Wendy's. Hooey Magoo's. You guys want to go ahead to some Hooey Magoo's?
There was this place called the Wiggly Piggly.
Okay, Wendy's I have been to. I have been to a Wendy's.
What's your guys' opinion on Panda Express?
It's pretty good.
So good. Wait.
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr.
Jack
in the Box.
Jack in the Box has got some fire stuff.
Oh, I want to say.
And
Taco Bell. They have this $5, like, what was it, $5?
We didn't talk about Taco Bell yet, have we?
No, we already talked
about
it.
We had a little brief talk about
it.
But Taco Bell has this, like, $5 craving box, I think is what it's called. And it has. Oh, I'm really hoping I'm
the
birria one? It has a taco, a chalupa?
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. The combo box.
Yeah, it's the $5 craving pop.
Craving pop?
Box. And
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And then it has a bean and cheese burrito, and
Hooey
then
Magoo.
It has a cinnamon twist.
Subway. Subway is decent, in my opinion. And if you're like, oh, the food is bad, bro, you made the sandwich.
Ice cream. What's the best ice cream flavor?
In my opinion, my personal favorite is mint chocolate chip.
Oh yeah, he talked a lot about this last
okay.
time we did this.
Mint chocolate chip, but I also mixed that in with cookie dough and then made it into a milkshake. It was so good.
That sounds really good.
But it was in Seaside where they did Ooh. The best milkshakes.
Wait, are you talking about that one? Oh crap.
There's multiple in Seaside, but it's like the ones that are right on the beachfront. They make bomb milkshakes.
There is this one place. Oh, there's this one place I went to down at Long Beach that my aunt's best friend works at. It's something. It has the name Dylan in it, I guess.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes, that place is so good. And they have really good pastries. I was just really sad because we paid for like a big brownie and they didn't give it to me, and I was really sad. I wanted the brownie.
You wanted your brownie? Mint chocolate chip's the best flavor.
What type of brownie?
But if you mix that with cookie dough, bro, it is so fire. It made me almost just explode.
My name is Sydney from AM 1450 KBPS. Thank you for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, ERP, and KBOO.
This is the Student Hour, student voices for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS.
As radio broadcasters and audio producers and storytellers, we use sound to tell stories. One of the first projects that we're working on in the KBPS classroom is called the KBPS Sound Scavenger Hunt. And it's a lot of fun. This is what we do. Students use their phones to record audio, and I give them a checklist of four different sounds to record. And then we go on a scavenger hunt around the school campus trying to find the different sounds we're looking for. I have students record a school sound, a human sound, a nature sound, and then any sound of their choice. Our KBPS broadcasting students are getting pretty creative with this assignment, and I want to share a little bit of the sounds that they've recorded. Here's what the KBPS Sound Scavenger Hunt sounds like.
Come on, team.
I need to turn in my other assignment.
I'm going to take the extra.
Aside from that, I see what nature sounds we can record. Yeah? And then last but not least, I...
I don't know, you say it.
What? No, you say it.
No, you say it. You say it. I don't need to talk, you say it.
You do.
Raise your hand if you have two sounds recorded so far.
Once we come back to the classroom, we talk about how we can tell stories through sound and how sound helps us tell stories. Students are also beginning to work on a project that we call Pin Drop. In the Pin Drop assignment, students are writing about a life experience they've had in their English class. Then they take that writing and bring it to KBPS broadcasting class, where they not only record themselves telling that story, but then they also go out and find the sound that helps them tell that story too. The sound of those experiences. And I challenge students to try to capture that sound of that experience or try to recreate the sound of that experience. And we're learning how sound can really help tell the story. Once students finish the Pin Drop assignment, you'll get to hear it right here on the Student Hour. But in the meantime, a couple of examples what we're talking about. A student shared with us in radio class that the story they're telling through this assignment is about a time when they went to a band recital and then went and had ice cream after that recital. And I asked the student, what kind of sound would tell that story or help you tell that story? Of course, the smart student replied, well, I could get the music or find a similar music from a band, and I could record the sound of the people talking at the ice cream store, or maybe even the sound of the scooper scooping out the ice cream. And just like that, sound helps us tell our stories. Thanks for listening to the Student Hour.
Hello, this is Colby with Student Hour. And today, I'm here with...
Zabe.
And Chilsusk.
And today, we want to take some time to talk about Call of Duty and, like, what it means to us. So, for the first question, what makes Call of Duty so special to you guys?
Call of Duty is pretty special to me because I grew up watching my dad play it a lot, which got me interested in video games in general.
And the way I got into it was when I was younger, my dad would play... the old Modern Warfare 2 and 3, so I just got into it.
Yeah, it was kind of the same with me, except it was Black Ops 2 Zombies. My dad and my uncle, they would go and they'd play Black Ops 2 Zombies for like hours. And I'd sit there and I'd watch them play, and then I finally got a PS3 for like super, super cheap. So after that happened, I got Modern Warfare 2. I actually had the Steelbook case. Still have it. I've played it, they'd play like 15 times. And that really got me into Call of Duty and, like, showed me how fun it is. And just, I mean, like, overall, like, it's just kind of what made me fall in love with the franchise. But speaking of falling in love with the franchise and, like, how much we love it, what's our biggest issue with Call of Duty at this moment?
Money. They are getting really money hungry right now. And it's kind of worrying. Like, okay, Black Cell right now in the Battle Pass, you pay $30 for a bunch of extra added-on stuff. It's insane.
So you're basically saying that, like, the multiplayer is what's ruining Call of Duty.
It's not the multiplayer. It's the greed that Activision has for their game, how much they want to milk out of their users.
I agree with Samo. All of the most recent Call of Duty games have been really money-hungry recently, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of the issue that I'm having with Call of Duty at the moment, too, is, like, one, it feels low quality. Like, I'm paying $60-$70 now, I think it is.
Yeah, like,
for what really does feel like just a DLC. Like, it doesn't really feel like I'm playing anything interesting, anything unique, anything fun. Like, the Modern Warfare 1 reboot was really, really fun, really unique. I had a great time. With the Modern Warfare 2 reboot, I spent $70 on that game, and I don't like it. I've played it 2-3 times now to really get like a general, like a solid opinion on it, and it is just fine. It's not like terrible, but it's not a fun game.
I agree with you, Colby. I played the Modern Warfare 2 reboot. All I've done was play the campaign, nothing else. That's how bad the multiplayer is.
Yeah, I heard the multiplayer really sucks, but the campaign really is not that much better either. But enough of like enough about Modern Warfare 2. What's the best Call of Duty game in our opinion?
That's hard because I grew up playing Modern Warfare 2 and Black Ops 2, which is two games
that
are
well received.
Ignore
nostalgia, just overall, like the game you found yourself having the most fun with.
I mean, that's hard. Campaign wise, I honestly had a lot of fun with Black Ops 2. Zombies wise, Black Ops 3. I know. It's a little controversial.
That's actually a really hot take because Black Ops 3 is not the most popular. Black Ops 2 is actually the most popular COD Zombies.
Yeah, I know that, but I think it's sort of the fact that I have all the DLCs. I get to enjoy all the different experiences. I like the in-depth Easter eggs.
That does make sense.
I grew up playing Transit on Black Ops 2, which is still one of my favorite maps. I don't care what anyone else says. It's one of my favorite maps. Because it's new. It's something... Yeah, I see you shaking your heads, but yeah, it's new. It's something...
Something
new to experience.
Yeah.
I agree. It is something new to experience, but in all of my zombie career, I would say my favorite would be Infinite Warfare.
What about for campaign, though?
Huh?
What about for campaign?
The campaign? No, I would still go with, like, Modern Warfare... Like, old Modern Warfare 3 and 2.
Okay. I mean, I definitely see that. Personally, for me, with campaign... it's definitely Modern Warfare 2. I think it's kind of what solidified the Modern Warfare series, made it so fun, made it so unique. It has probably one of the best plot twists in any game and really gets you excited for the end of the final mission of Modern Warfare 2, but also like what comes next for Modern Warfare as a series. COD Zombies, I'm not a huge zombie fan in general. But if I had to choose, I would go basic and say modern. Or I mean, Black Ops 2 Zombies, because I played so much of that game, and I mean, it is just a very solid zombie experience. Multiplayer wise, though, will always be Modern Warfare 1 Original. I love that multiplayer. I play it, not as much as I used to, but I used to play like every day for years. And I think actually recently the servers just went back up for the original. So I might have to go back and, you know, replay it, kind of see where I left off, see how good I am again. But with multiplayer, actually, what would you guys say is better? Call of Duty multiplayer or the campaign?
Honestly, it depends on the game. But as much as I love story, I feel like I'd have more fun playing multiplayer for the fact that it's Call of Duty is described as an arcade shooter, which I like that idea. I like the idea of being able to have a variety of different play styles.
I agree. I would 100% go with multiplayer because you could choose your like loadout, and then you get to go against players who you never met before. Well, with the campaign, if you like keep playing, you're eventually going to get bored of it.
Yeah, I see where you guys are coming from, but I'm actually going to have to disagree and say that I much rather play the campaign. Mainly because, like, if I want to play a multiplayer experience, I'm probably going to have to play a game like CSGO. I feel like that is it's a much more solid multiplayer experience with its own, like, really unique challenges. And Call of Duty multiplayer just is kind of bad at times. Like, it's, one, really toxic. It goes through phases of being really, really good to really, really bad. And like overall, just I don't find it that fun. But I think you have something to say.
Honestly, you got a fair point there. I do think that the campaigns as like a story section is good, and there are better arcade shooters out there, like CS:GO or Rainbow Six, or you can get a little futuristic and go like Overwatch 2 or Apex.
Now. All this talk about Call of Duty and, you know, the newer and the older ones and our opinions on them, what would you guys say is better, the newer ones or the older ones? Now, in my opinion, I'd say old Call of Duty is Modern Warfare 3. New Call of Duty is anything after that.
That is honestly a hard decision because you say Modern Warfare 3. That means I'm pretty sure Black Ops 3, Black Ops 4, I'm pretty sure Advanced and Infinite came out also after that. So that's
way,
a really hard...
Like way, I think way after.
Yeah, that's a really tough choice because, granted, those games are good, but I think after Modern Warfare 3 and before, like, I'm going to say Cold War, those games really built on different mechanics that really helped them grow. Now, I know Black Ops 4 gets a lot of slap for their... you have to manually heal.
And also, it's solely multiplayer experience, which kind of hurt the game itself.
Yeah, but I think I'll have to go with new because they built with a lot of different mechanics.
Okay, I mean, I see that. And honestly, I do lean towards new as well. Like, one of my favorite Call of Duty experiences was actually Infinite Warfare. It's a really good story. It's a very underrated Call of Duty game. Like, it gets a lot of hate, but that's really just because everybody was so fed up with futuristic games. But one thing people didn't realize is futuristic games are actually really, really fun and unique. It's just you have to do them well.
I agree with you, Colby. Zombies for IW was where I would go to just because of like the end game and like what the reward you get. It's one of the best in all of Call of Duty Zombies. Cold War is like second best because it just levels up your starting weapon. I would say that Modern Warfare 3 and 2 are definitely, like, if I could share a spot for top one, it would be those two.
For Call of Duty as a whole, I could definitely see Modern Warfare 2 or 3 being the best Call of Duty game ever made.
I honestly have to go with Black Ops 2. Just for, like, it's the modern and futuristic aspect of it.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't really have, like, a solid opinion on the campaign because I've actually never beat it.
Oh my god, you have to.
I've been meaning to. I'm currently playing Black Ops 1. I'm going to beat that game, and then I'll go play Black Ops 2. But I played a little bit of Black Ops 2 up until you had to go to, like, a management system where you had to manage, like, robots and humans. And that was just way too much for me at the time, because I was still kind of new to gaming.
Yeah, those are optional missions. You actually don't have to play them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Ah, man, I wish I knew that when I was younger, because I sold the game because I could not beat it. To be fair, again, I was so new to gaming that that's too much for me.
Yeah.
But one thing with actually speaking of the format of Black Ops 2, what do you guys think of the new Call of Duty format?
What is the format?
I mean, for the campaign, it's pretty much generic shooter missions. Then you have like a really annoying stealth mission that just takes way too long to beat. And then for some reason, a boss fight, for whatever reason. For multiplayer, it's just Warzone, which is squad-based PvP where players fight players, and it's just kind of pointless at this moment.
Yeah. I never play the campaign because I'll tell you guys my little secret. I don't have Modern Warfare 2. I play Modern Warfare 2 on my dad's Xbox because he is out working and he wants me to play it for him. So the only mission I've ever played was the one where you're trapped in that city in Mexico.
That's the exact annoying stealth mission about.
And I loved it. Honestly, I loved that mission.
Okay, so I'm comparing stealth missions to the mission in Modern Warfare 1 Reboot, Clean House, because I think that is a perfect example of a very good stealth mission. The stealth mission in Modern Warfare 2 where you're stuck in the Mexican city sucks because you are surrounded by enemies with very powerful weapons and you have literally nothing. And there are just way too many enemies to deal with. Now, I do know an easy way to beat it, which makes it fine. I can deal with it. But it's just overall very annoying, especially when you get later into the mission where enemies have body armor and you do not have that much ammo. So you're basically losing ammo when you fight. You have to fight them, but you don't have enough ammo to fight them.
So in Modern Warfare 2, there was actually a similar mission, but it was a Spec Ops. It was in the snow, and you only had like a suppressed sniper rifle and a pistol, and you had to get through this entire big section. You know what mission I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's actually one of the best missions of Modern Warfare 2. But it's also done really well because you can avoid those. You don't have to fight them. In Modern Warfare 2 Remake or Reboot, you have to fight them to progress because there is no way to like sneak past or just run past them easily. There's way too many enemies to deal with, and it gets really, really annoying at times.
I actually like that. I don't know why. I just kind of like it because one, you have to think carefully about what materials you're using because you have to make your own weapons for it, and you also have to think of like future like options. You know, you have to see like which enemies you should like take down first, or like if you should just let them go for now.
Now, see what I actually do in that mission is as soon as I get to the stealth section of it, I spam smoke bombs. Like I spam craft smoke bombs. By the way, adding crafting into Modern Warfare 2 Reboot was completely pointless and did nothing to the game because you don't ever use it again. But what I literally just do is I grab one of the enemy's shotguns and I just hold out at the little bar area, and yep. That's it. That's like the way
I did that same
it.
Thing. I did the same
like,
thing.
You basically the majority of the enemies are gone by the time you're done there, and then there's like maybe 3-4 enemies left that you can like kind of just run past. It's not a huge issue, but it feels so poorly designed and it's kind of old now. Like in Modern Warfare 1 Reboot, you had the mission with Pharah where you have to like be you're her as a kid, in the sneak past, and it's just boring. It's not fun. It's not unique. It's old.
As for like the multiplayer formula, I played a ton of it. I'm actually the reason why my dad has all of his guns maxed out. I didn't like that. It was terrible to play. But DMZ is really fun. I've had so much. As much as I hate the player base, I loved playing DMZ. I mean, I'm actually gonna go home and run it right after this. I'm gonna go home and play that because I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, I can't actually speak on the multiplayer because I just don't play it anymore. It's personally to me, Call of Duty multiplayer is old. I only play the original Modern Warfare 1, but not much anymore. I'm kind of just done with it as a whole.
I also see where you're coming from. I don't really play any of the new multiplayers just because of how the game is built, because in the newer ones, like latest ones, the body armor absolutely sucks.
Yes, that is my biggest issue with Modern Warfare 2 Reboot at this moment, is the body armor. One, throughout the entire campaign, all the enemies have body armor, which ruins the fun of the game, and you don't have any. And when you finally get some, it's like drains in seconds. Like it's just completely pointless and annoying.
I have to agree with that. I like the idea is nice, but the execution is poor. Because in Cold War zombies got body armor, but they got like tungsten plates that take like two RPG shots, while you got like paper plates, so it takes like one swipe. So that's what peeves me, is that I think if they did it better, it could have been a good mechanic.
Yeah, what I think they should have done is add like a regen body armor situation, like kind of like have like a Halo, where like, you know, you still have body armor. Maybe it can be a little weaker than the enemies, but it's not to the point where you feel like you're basically shooting at a brick wall. Like, they can take so much damage, but you go down so quickly, and it's just really, really annoying. But with annoying games and just, like, bad aspects, what do you guys think is the worst Call of Duty?
All right. In unison, we're all going to say it. Vanguard.
Vanguard. So I bought that game like day one. I will admit, spent $70 on the game. I know it's a horrible thing to do. I beat it on Hardened in 2 days and returned it. The only good part of Vanguard was the very ending, and that's because finally, after pointless hours and hours of playing the game ends. That was the only good part of the game.
So, I've only played the multiplayer. I never touched the zombies. But apparently, it looked terrible. And they brought back Shinonuma, which is really weird, because that's its second, third iteration.
I have no idea what that is.
I believe it's the third one.
I'll leave that to you.
throw back to me. All right. But no, I heard the zombies wasn't really good. I heard it was like a bunch of trial missions, and there wasn't really no Easter egg. As for the multiplayer, that was terrible. Oh my god, I did not want to play it.
You know, that's actually really funny that you mentioned multiplayer, because one of the next questions is, do you think Call of Duty multiplayer killed Call of Duty?
Well, I think killed Call of Duty was, I'm still going to say it, the greed. Okay, if you gave me the Modern Warfare 2, what's it called? Multiplayer, that's what it was. If you gave me the Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer by itself, I think I honestly would have fun. But if it wasn't for, like, the greed and, like, maybe, sometimes it's the fan base getting way too sweaty for no reason.
Okay, the biggest turnoff for the multiplayer for me is actually the fan base one. It's way too toxic to the point where, like, it's not even trash talking. They are just being terrible people. And, like, it can kind of just ruin the overall fun. Because, like, when I play Call of Duty, like, multiplayer, I don't want to deal with people, like, constantly saying awful, disgusting things. I just want to sit down and have a little bit of fun. But, like, it gets way too competitive, and it is way too toxic of a, like, game.
I never really cared for the toxicity. I honestly didn't give... No, I'm being real. I'm being serious. I honestly did not care, because I grew up with that kind of toxicity from actual people. So having that being screamed at me from a game was no difference. I honestly made fun of it too. That was my whole thing.
All the old Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer lobbies with the one-man army.
Oh, yeah, new tubes.
God, it's just... I really do feel like at this point, Call of Duty is kind of a dead game. I know it sells well, but let's be real. No one's buying Call of Duty. They're buying Warzone, and that's it.
But Warzone's free. No, they're buying it to play the multiplayer to level their guns for Warzone. Yeah, that's what's happening.
Like, you're not playing Call of Duty anymore. Playing...
Yeah, you're not playing Call of Duty for Call of Duty anymore.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, really. Yeah. You're not. Yeah. You're playing Call of Duty for the multiplayer, not for the campaign itself. But, you know, it's actually really funny that you're mentioning how bad Call of Duty is, because we, as people have heard, we really do not like the Modern Warfare 2 reboot. And what do you guys think is the worst part about the reboot?
The co-op. That's it. That's all I gotta say.
They got co-op.
Yeah, it's co-op.
There's co-op, but it's not co-op.
Are you talking about the raids?
You're forced to play online. You can't even play couch play anymore.
That, yeah. That's really dumb. Personally, for me, I think it's soulless. You know, original Call of Duty, they had some, like, unique characters, some interesting, like, missions and fights. But with Modern Warfare 2 Reboot, one, you know what's going to happen if you've played Modern Warfare 2 Original. The plot twist is done poorly anyways. It doesn't even matter if you know what's going to happen. I don't care about the plot twist. In Modern Warfare 2, in the original one, I've beat that game so many times, and I still care about that plot twist. In the reboot, I don't care. Like, it's just okay, cool, that happened. Why, let's get it over with.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the new Zombies?
No, because Zombies is just a overall bad game mode.
I haven't seen it in general, but piggybacking off of what you said, they should have just changed the plot twist. Like, considering that they're re-adding characters, they should have just changed how, like, General Shepard, like, did his thing.
They shouldn't have used Modern Warfare. They should have made an entirely different game with a different storyline.
Yes, they need a new, like, three-part series.
Yeah.
Like, you have Modern Warfare, you have Black Ops. I'm not going to count Black Ops 4 because that was not a campaign. That had, like, that was just the name. It had no connection, really. But I really do want a new three-part series in Call of Duty because it's just like one-off games that they're fun, but that's kind of like I would have liked to see a three-part series off of Call of Duty Ghost, which I know it's a very controversial game. It is very cool. It's very unique. It is basic. It is kind of bland at times, but overall, it is a very unique game as a whole. But really quick, now that I've actually mentioned Black Ops 4. What do you guys think about Black Ops 4?
I sort of enjoyed the multiplayer. I mean, I know there was a lot of, like, pay-to-win aspects, but I kind of enjoyed it. Zombies, though, 9, gotta be one of my most favorite maps.
So here's my issue with Black Ops 4. It has no campaign. Now, Black Ops 3 ended on a cliffhanger, basically, where your character says that they're the main villain of the game. But you have no idea what's going on. Like, they don't really touch on that. Like, it's just kind of, hey, this happened. That's it. Like, I was hoping they maybe touched more on what happened after Black Ops 3. Because it just kind of ends.
Another thing about the Black Ops 3 campaign.
Black Ops 4?
No, the Black Ops 3 campaign.
Oh, the campaign. Sorry.
Yeah. They did it so bad that they had to make a game mode with zombies in it to restructure how it went.
Yeah, the Black Ops 3 campaign was a good campaign executed poorly. And that's kind of why I was excited for Black Ops 4, because I was thinking, okay, maybe they can fix what went wrong with Black Ops 3. But all of Black Ops 4 really was Black Ops 3 multiplayer under a different title.
I don't really like the flip-flop conversations, but back to Black Ops 4, Blackout. That was
never
fun.
Never played it.
What?
I returned Black Ops 4 after like 3 days of having it.
It was the pioneer of Warzone, and honestly, I think it's better than Warzone for the fact that you don't go in, you find a naked gun, and you put clothes on it, basically. You customize that thing, and that's what's cool about it.
That actually does sound really, really fun.
It is so much fun. And I think of like PUBG, but it's Call of Duty. And there's also like zombie parts.
That sounds really cool, actually.
You know Verrucht, the map?
I'm relatively familiar
with it. You can visit it.
Okay, that's actually kind of sick.
Yeah, Blackout was so much better than what Warzone is today.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad seeing this of Call of Duty. Because, you know, I mean, I grew up playing it. I've beaten Modern Warfare 1 to 3, the original, so many times. But, you know, thank you guys so much for coming on. Before we leave, does anyone have anything to say?
Have a good day. This was Chosusk.
Have a good day. My name is Jose.
And have a good day. This was Colby.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of The Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.